Father, thank you for today. I'm grateful for you giving us the privilege of your word. Thank you for signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for seating us in spiritual places with the Lord Jesus and giving us spiritual blessing. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how the supernatural can be real to us, how it can be normal for us so that we can properly represent you here in this earth realm. Thank you, Father, again for our apostle, his wife, his beautiful family, the royal family, all of LTMA, the Master Life, Master Vision bearers, and all of the circle members. Everything is for you. It's a table that we set for you in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so you can be seated here. And again, let's just go out, everybody in your home. We already had a miracle last night in from Richmond, Virginia, with eyesight being restored. And Apostle already told us that it's like popcorn. So one hits, another hits, then it just starts popping all over the place. So we are not done. We're just getting started with this in the awesome name of Jesus. All right. Now, when we're talking about supernatural, there's some things I want to state first, just for clarity. Number one, understand this, that an electric switch, I want to give you a couple of examples. An electric switch does not create power. When you turn a light switch on, it does not make power come. All right. The power is my electrician. The power is already there and is stopped. The switch is a stop. And so when you flick the switch up, it allows what is already there to flow. All right. Secondarily, I would use this as an example in your bathroom or in your kitchen. When you turn a faucet on, that does not make water come. The water already is at that tap. It is already at that point. It is you releasing that valve, opening that valve that allows it to flow. It looks like I cut the light on and it made the light come on. The power was already there. It looked like when I turned the faucet, it made the water come, but the water was already there. I just let it go. And the supernatural is the same way. You and I are the valve. You and I are the switch. The supernatural already is to you. It already is to me. It just simply has to be let go. And so the focus I've been instructed and inspired to bring to you is about this. It's the Father factor, finding the Father factor. The Father factor. We're going to talk about our Heavenly Father. We're going to talk about the role that we should have in being connected to our Heavenly Father. Because the scripture says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit. Well, there it is right there. God is supernatural. And if God is supernatural and I'm his child, why in the world am I just regular natural? I should be supernatural as well. So let's look at a couple of things. I want you to write this down. First, there are three revelations of God, or three ways to really know God. There really are more, but I want to talk about three today. Number one, I want God to be revealed to me as God. I do want him revealed to me as God. And then I want to pray that he's revealed to me as creator, that God is a creator. He is God. He is a creator. And then number three, Father. So these are prayers I'm praying. God, reveal yourself to me as God. Reveal yourself to as the Most High. Reveal yourself to me as the Creator. And then reveal yourself to me as Father. Now, the number one way that Jesus referred to God was Father. I mean, just over and over and over and over and over again, he talked about Father. He did talk about God as well, but he always included my Father. All right, so we're going to walk in those three layers. Now, there are also three realms. There's such a thing as an everlasting Father. There are three types of fathers, everlasting or a heavenly Father. And then there is what we're going to call a spiritual Father. There is an everlasting or supernatural Father. There is a spiritual Father. And then there is a natural Father. Some scriptures that will help you with that just in terms of eternal. Turn to 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to get right to it and dance today because you know the time is right for us to walk in the supernatural. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. And it says here, but to us, verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us. I'm not like the rest of the world. I'm not conformed to them. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. But to us, there is but one God. Now watch, the Father. So God is a father. See, there are all these organizations today, all these revelations in the world about redefining the family and redefining manhood and fatherhood. Look, fatherhood is as basic to God's creation as he is because he's a father. All right? So you have an everlasting father. Isaiah chapter 9 calls him the everlasting father. And Ephesians 1:3 said he is the father of all. All right? And then spiritually, turn to Romans 4:16. I don't want to stick with these very long, but I do want to make the case. When I was in seminary, one beneficial thing I learned from Dr. Wyatt T. Walker is to prosecute the word. If you prosecute the word, in other words, put the word on the witness stand and just question it. Let the word talk. Let the word testify of itself, right? And then after you prosecute the word, then you can persecute the enemy. Hallelujah. They're going to be persecuting and a lot of persecuting and prosecuting going on. Now, Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be to grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those which are of the law, but those which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, we know Abraham's not the father of us all, but he is. He's a spiritual father. And then in Luke chapter 13, verse 13 through 16, you see the woman that had the issue of blood. And Jesus said, ought not this woman being whom? A daughter of Abraham. Well, how in the world? The daughter Abraham lived a long time ago. How is that his daughter? Spiritually. Glory to God. And then over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, it says, those of us that believe what God has done are Christ. And if we are Christ, we are Abraham's seed. So all of us are Abraham's seed. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have a spiritual father, and then you know the scripture and Proverbs 22:13, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So now you have a natural father. So now here's the thing. The enemy, Satan, is always working to contaminate your connection to those underfathers. Biological father, natural father, spiritual father, so that you can't get to the father. They all should be pulling you the same way. And if you understand what the enemy is trying to do to you, you can shut him down. Now, there are three roles I want you to write down and understand. Paternity, the father has three roles in your life. Paternity, he's not running from the fact he's your father. He's not Michael Jackson. Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just the one who claims that I am one. But God don't mind. He said, I'm your father. I don't mind being your daddy. Paternity. And if you want to do a blood test, that's fine too. Because if you walked past the cross and kneeled, bowed your knee at the cross, you just had a blood transfusion. And it's not just human blood, but you running through your veins is pure and holy blood. Are you hearing me? So paternity, DNA. Deoxyribonucleic acid, that's the genetic code that all of our likenesses to our parents come from. But there's also, oh my God, there also, hear me now, hear it. Look, there also is a spiritual genetic code. When you are born of the Father, he's supernatural. So guess what? Your DNA is supernatural too. If somebody were to stick a hypodermic into your spirit and pull out the substance, it would be the same substance that's done the Father. The Father said, that's my boy right there. That's my son. All right, so what we want to do is go to John chapter 8. Let's talk about the Father. We want to talk about connecting with Father. Let's go through this again. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So it says God is a spirit. It says God is a spirit to distinguish him from other spirits. See, he didn't say God is spirit. He said God is a spirit. And he said that way because man is a spirit. Angels are spirits. Satan is a spirit. So they're different spirits, and John wanted to differentiate and say God is a spirit. He's not those spirits. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are one. All right? Now, John 8:44. This is going to be good because I know you didn't know Family Feud didn't start as a game show. Family Feud started in the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 8, and I'm going to start with verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Abraham never did that. You do the works of your father. Then said he unto them, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded from forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Now watch, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself. He is a liar and the father of it. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words, and therefore you hear them not because ye are not of God. So in other words, Your hearing. Bishop Robertson talked about your mindset. He talked about having your mind fixed. You're having your mind prepared to really walk with God. Well, God is a supernatural being. And so if I'm connected to him, my life should be supernatural as well. I mean, there is something called natural. Then there's something called there's something called normal, then there's something called supernormal. I'm not talking about that distinction. I'm talking about natural and supernatural. In other words, natural is what you can do on your own and by yourself. Supernatural means something else has kicked in that is beyond human effort and human ability. Hallelujah. I mean, there's some stuff coming. Can I talk for a minute? Because where we are in the world today, the darker the world is, the easier it is for the light to shine. And there's some crazy stuff going on in the world. And all that is the world begging. Can somebody show me where the real church is? Would the real church please stand up? We out here suffering, laboring. We have no answers. We have no solutions. We have no idea how to fix all this stuff. Where the church at? CCC, are you with me? Oh, yeah, we are the church. We ain't going nowhere. So, see, it's this fight between fathers. There are two fathers, God the Father, and then Satan is a father. But they all came from the same family. All right? They came from the same family. God created Lucifer. He didn't create Satan. Satan created himself. Right? And so you got God the Father, and then you got Satan is a father. The devil is a father. So the God has children, and then the devil, and Jesus said, he said, you're the devil's kids. Now, doggone it, if you're going to tell me that the devil's kids should be out living, should be out dressing, should be out driving, should be out praising, should be out anything, the children of God, I'll spit right in your face. I will spit right in your face. And that's not a huge deal for me. I spit in these people's face every Sunday. They know it's the splash zone on the front row. They're going to catch it. But you can get healed when I spit on you. All right. I want to say this again. There are two fathers. There are two fathers in the spirit realm. And then there are imitation fathers in the spirit realm. Spiritual fathers. Everybody cannot be a spiritual father. I've had people in my life try to push in and say, I'm a spiritual father. I can be your spiritual father. Or they'll send me a letter. This is to all my sons. I'm like, well, why'd you send it to me? It's a disaster when you don't know who your daddy is. In the spirit, in the heaven realm, in the spiritual realm, and in the natural realm, you better know who your daddy is. If you have daddy issues, you have some real issues. I know who my father is on all three. Now, you may not have all three. Really, all you need is the one. If you know who God the Father says you are, it's over. All right, now, let's look at this. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 30. Because I want to bring this out here. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. So, we'll talk about this later, but there's a level of intimacy you're supposed to have with your Father. All right, you got to have a level of intimacy with your Father. That's what's going to cause... Now watch, intimacy with your heavenly Father, intimacy with your spiritual Father, you can have intimacy with your natural Father. But if you can't have it with your natural Father, you still can have it with your spiritual Father, and you can have it with your heavenly Father. Just understand that the devil hates you so bad. Can I tell you why he hates you? He hates you because he hates God. But he can't beat God. Everywhere in the Bible, the devil has taken an L. Every time, from the very beginning, when he rose up against God, he got kicked out. Then he tried to crucify Jesus. He thought he had him. And said, got him. And then God said, that's what I wanted to happen. So then that was an L. And then time and time again. And so when he can't win, he can't beat God, what he does is he turns his ire, he turns his hatred for God against who he thinks is defenseless. He turns his attention on what he believes God cares about. He can't beat God, so then, okay, what does God really care about? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him and crowned him with glory and honor. All right, I can't get God, but I'm a get him. Look, my father, Dr. Forbes, and then one of my neighbors told me about this happened to them. My father knocked a bird's nest off of his house because the birds had built a nest in just an inopportune place. It was right over the door, just the back door. And so he knocked the nest down, and the eggs and stuff fell out, all this. And my dad said for several months, his car was getting bombed by the birds. They would fly over his car and just drop. I mean, how nasty are you Did God really create you? You just take a squirt. There's no toilet paper. There's no wipes or anything. You just keep on going. So anyway, his car is covered. This woman up the street from me told me the same thing happened to her, that her car was just covered with bird dung, because the birds evidently were like, "Oh, you are you gonna kick me out? But I can't fight you. But your car, it has no defense. I'm gonna get your car." So that's what the devil is doing to us. He cannot beat God, but he said, I know what's precious to God. Let me mess with them a little bit. And I come here to tell you, it is the anti-father who is responsible for all of our pain. He's the author of all of our pain, because he can't mess with God, so he comes after you and I. And that's why we need to be supernatural. Not some days, not some weeks, every day, every week, completely supernatural. All right. Turn to John chapter 14. Now listen. I'm either going to be supernatural or natural. You cannot be both at the same time. Now, you can pick one day and pick the other one the next day and rotate if you want. You can oscillate or vacillate between those two, but you can't be both at the same time. Now, again, God is a spirit. And I have news for you, you are a spirit. So you already are supernatural. John 14. Ooh. I think right around verse 26. Let me think about it. Verse 10. All right, here we go. Verse 10. This is Jesus talking to his boys. Now he says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Now that's what we just read. I and the Father are one, okay? John 10:30, right? "Father and me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now, if God is a spirit, which he is, then whatever work he's doing is supernatural. So now watch. Jesus said, when you are with me, when you're around me, you hear me speaking. I'm speaking. But it's my Father that's doing the works. In other words, you think I'm something really out of this world. I'm just something completely special. And he is. But now what he has done is rendered this supernatural walk down on our level. Because he didn't say, "I do the works." He said, "All I do is say what he says, and then he does the works." That's the supernatural right there. So I get in a situation, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to move. I don't know how to flow. I don't know how to go. And I spend time with him. And then he tells me in that private time, "Hey, say this." All right, when I say it, he says, "Don't worry about it. I got it from here." God, dog, man, come on. I know you can see it. Apostle teaches us that we go from anointing, from faith to anointing, from anointing to the glory. That's the process right there. God, I don't know what to do. God says what to do. He says what to say. That takes faith. Then when I say it, that puts me in the anointing. And then when I'm in the anointing, he says, "Don't worry about it. I got it from here. I'll do the work." Hey, you need not fight in this battle. Just show up. I need you to show up at Ziz. I need you just to show up and represent. All right. I tell you right now, I feel like I'm on Highway 44. going to speak the word, and the Father is going to back it up. I don't have to do anything. Just agree, just say what he said. Jesus said, I'm not saying this on my own. I'm just saying what I've heard him say. And then when he says, when I say it, he just comes in and does it. Can you get a hold of that? All right, let's look at a couple other things. I and the Father are, turn to John chapter 5. Somebody's going to flat out just cuss right here on this one. You're going to just flat out cuss. And cussing for Christians means saying victory. John 5. Most of the scriptures, I may not get to all of them. I'm going to just give them to you. It's in John. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. Synoptic. Sin meaning same. Optic meaning eye. In other words, they looked at the same circumstance, the same occurrence, and they put it in their own words. John is different. See, John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke focused on what Jesus did. John had a more intimate relationship with Jesus, and so he dealt with who Jesus was. And that's why you see all the time, Father, 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 Father and I are one, I and the Father on the same page, I and the Father have the same heart. That was John talking that way because John spent more intimate time with Jesus and he had more detailed files on what was going on. Jesus was so tough. He looked at the devil and said, you ain't got nothing on me. You can't deal with this. You want some of this? You don't want this. This reminds me of Gucci. One of our neighbors has a dog. They named the dog Gucci. Now, I like that. I'm going to get me a dog and name him Versace. Come here, Versace. So Gucci, so there were some other dogs that were near Gucci, and they were going off. Gucci just stood there and said, He looked at his owner and said, they don't want this. They don't want none of this. He just stood there and looked. They were just going off, just having conniption fits. Gucci just said, it's Gucci. It's good. I'm good. That's the way Jesus was. Here the devil, all this hell going on. And Jesus just said, I done fought you 1,000 times already. Do you know the problem, the thing you're dealing with, I'm dealing with? Jesus is just, would you just say what I'm telling you to say so the Father can come in and finally shut this thing down? This is an old demon you're fighting. He has no strength. He's worn out. He's played out. He's tired. He has no victory. Reminds me, sometimes we're on our motor coach trips. Apostle, of course, the big daddy, he got a big 600 horsepower. Then I've got a 500. The others have 500 and 450s and whatever. But we let Apostle go first because those big trucks don't want to let us get by. I guess they see RVs. We're spending money for fun. They're spending money for work. And I guess they just like, man, I need to hold these RVs back. But they can't. And so we get on a little incline, Apostle will go by and hit that Cummins, my God, that Cummins 605 horsepower. And the truck, you can see the smoke coming out the top of the truck because he's a master. He's trying to hang with Apostle. But he can only hang so far because Apostle can go some places he can't go. And so Apostle finally, he'll leave the truck behind. Then he'll get on the radio and talk to the rest of us. All right, come on, boys. I took all the wind out of him. Come on. He ain't got nothing. I'm telling you, that's how our Father is. He already has whipped these devils. He already has whipped every enemy. And he's gone by and said, all right, children, come on now. I took all the wind out of the devil. He ain't got nothing left. Now look, I went to Virginia Union, but I didn't get wah from Virginia Union. I went to James Madison University. I didn't get wah from James Madison University. I come from a very educated family. A lot of preachers, but I didn't get from the family. It took me a while, but I found my way down to Highway 22 in Darrow, Louisiana. Darrow rhymes with arrow. And that's why, that's why I got it. I'm not copying, I'm following. There's a difference. All right, John 5. Then we'll be moving towards our final approach. John chapter 5. Are we ready to cuss? We about to say the thing the devil does not want to hear. We about to say the thing that the world does not want to hear. I don't have time to really go into it right now, but I've been studying this. Every time Jesus got on Father, he started talking about who his Father was, everybody got mad at him. Because they know that that's a supernatural connection. We can't stop him if he gets into his real heritage. All right, look, John chapter 5. Oh, my goodness. All right, verse 17. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Notice that Jesus was like, I'm doing what the Father's doing. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Therefore, the Jews brought the more to kill him. What? All he did was say, I'm just doing what my Father does. They said, okay, we're going to kill him now. I mean, we already were upset, but now we're really going to kill him. He's talking about his Father and all of this, all right? They sought all the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, let's get ready to cuss, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. My God Almighty knows. In other words, if God is my Father and I am his Son, even the religious Jews knew, you're saying you're equal with God. So the next time you roll up on a problem, God is rolling up on that problem. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who didn't think it was robbery or unfair to be considered equal with God. Have I not said that you are God's? So the problem is for you and me, we get in a jam and we show up. You need to be saying, I should be saying what the Father says. Because what he says, he's going back up. Isn't that what we read? I don't speak of myself. I speak what I hear him say, but he doeth the works. So I give him the words he wants. He gives me the works that I want. But do we give him the right words? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Are you a minority? Mm-hmm. Because God never called you a minority. Are you black? Because God never called you black. Are you oppressed? See, this is where the supernatural leaks out of our being, like the embalming fluid Apostle talked about should be leaking out, should be drained out. That should be draining out, not the supernatural. We got the wrong fluid draining out. Well, I can't make it. Our kind just can't make it. It's just too tough. The whole system, you can't fight. Look. Satan is a spirit. You can't fight him as a system. He's a spirit. You're trying to fight a system. You have to fight the spirit and whip his tail. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Huh? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's spiritual beings, spiritual personalities. Okay. You notice how Jesus handled problems? They couldn't kill him. They were trying to kill him the whole time. They couldn't kill him until he laid his life down. He said, I'm running this show. Me and the Father run this. You don't run me. You don't demand of me what I'm going to do. All right. Let me read again, verse 19. Then he answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, there also doeth the Son also. All right? And that scripture goes with the other one that said he's making himself equal with God. That's verse 18. So now, let me walk around for a little bit. I'm equal with God. That's supernatural. I'm not saying I am God. I'm saying I'm one with him. And then in my case, I'm one with my spiritual father, Apostle Thompson. But see, one of the things we struggle with, I see this here. Let me see. I wrote this down just for you. Turn to John chapter 14 and verse 28. John 14, 28. Oh, my goodness. The supernatural is as simple as just opening the valve. It's just flicking the switch. The power's already there. Oh, man. Oh, help me. Okay, because I got to go there, too. All right, look. Oh, look at this. Look. John 14. Did I say 28? All right, look. John 14, 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. My Father, oh, doggone it. Now, I'm one with the Father, but he's greater than me. I'm one with him, but he's greater. See, you got to know how to get in the saddle with somebody and be with them, but understand that they're greater than you. There are levels to this. This is not even Stephen. There are levels to this. And you got to break yourself. And like, I do what needs to be done. Look, we got a call earlier this week. This is not critical at all. I need you to see this. We got a call earlier this week. We want you to make an introductory video for Dr. Forbes for Thursday, and this was on Monday, and they said, okay, but we need it tomorrow. And so we're running around writing scripts and recording stuff and mixing Ariana's up all night. She's scrambling and making a video, and then they didn't use the video. They may not have used a video, but that's not up to me. What's up to me? What's up to me is that's what I was asked to do. I'm going to do it. But it's just not fair. It's not fair. All the money goes to him. It's not. The fair takes place once a year in September at the fairgrounds. They have rides. They have hot dogs. They have other attractions. They got pigs and goats and llamas. That's llamas. That's called a fair. This is not fair. This is faith. There's a difference. I remember one time I was going back and forth preaching. I was pastoring a church in Roanoke. My best friend went to be with the Lord. I was covering them. I was flying back and forth here and there. And then I was supposed to be flying back. And then I got a call from Apostle office said, Apostle wants you to come to Daryl tomorrow. So I changed all my tickets. I didn't have my aircraft at that time. I forgot it was before I had my aircraft or after. But so I had to call, and we had scheduled new flights, paid $1,200 for a new ticket to change everything over. And then we got everything set, and then they called back. Said, Apostle doesn't need you to come now. Yeah, that's not fair. He thinks he's more important than I am. He is. The Father is greater than I am. God dug it. The Father is greater than I am. And that's not Is his schedule more important than mine? Helicopter, yes. Everything he does is more important than you. But he wants to include you. God the Father wants to include you. I want to include you. Why? Because it's something about the Father. I was backing my motor coach. I was parked at my home for a couple of days. I was moving it, and I was backing it out of a certain place out onto another street. I've done it before by myself. But I called David. I called my son. I was sitting in the coach, backing it up. I stopped. I dialed David, said, David, come back me out. Come, give me instructions. It's the way you spot the person who's driving the motor coach because they can't see behind them except two mirrors. You need somebody back there. And so David ran out the house. He was doing something else. Dropped what he was doing, ran out the house to help me do what I could have done by myself. But I wanted to share the experience with somebody. I wanted him to recognize he has abilities and potentials. I want him to understand he's important to what I'm doing. And so he came out and directed me and got me out where I was going. And I got out the coach and just dapped him up and pounded him up and said, man, yeah, I could do it myself, but I wanted you to do it with me. That is a microcosm of God the Father. You best believe whatever God is going to do in your life, he could do it all by his lonesome if he wanted to, but he chose. He said, I could do it by myself, but it does something to me on the inside when you come alongside me, drop what you're doing and pick up what I'm doing. That's why connection is so powerful. That's why Jesus got the same results that the Father got. And you and I can get the same results that Jesus gets. Be seated. I want to read to you about this connection. Listen to this. And then I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm testifying about my house and about my motor coach because, well, that was last year. No, last year. Jesus was resurrected 2,000 years ago. We celebrate that every day. So just back up, drop your rocks, and stop it. Listen to this card I got just this week with a large check on the inside. Dear Dr. Forbes, your messages reflect that you are truly committed to our Father and his word. I feel blessed to be influenced by your spiritual teaching and to be a part of the CCC family. During the closing months of 2019 and the beginning of 2020, the subject matter in your messages included establishing a more personal relationship with the Father. You said that we should spend more quality time with him, ask Dad about his plan for our lives and where he would like for us to live. Well, I began to pray with that mindset, saying, Dad, where would you like us to live? The voice of my dad led me perfectly to the perfect place, and I have moved in on June 27th. Hallelujah. Bless you and keep up your amazing work for God. And then sincerely. So in other words, she said, I just did what you did. That's what I did a year ago. Houseless, coachless. And God did both in a matter of 2 months. He did both. But now listen, what did I say? See, she picked up on it. I said, Father, where do you want to live? You're the one that wakes me up every morning. Where do you want to wake me up? Why would I say that? Because I speak the words, he does the works. All I had to do was find out from him where he wanted to wake me up, where he wanted to live with me. Once I start saying that, it's a wrap, as the apostle would say. So we were up for the minister's impartation, and we were on the road. We had 5 days of great messages. This is 2019. 5 days of great impartation from the apostle. I'd slipped and tore my shoulder up Tracy had to drive some, drop the coach something. You know, that's a miracle. That's a sign and a wonder right there, just by itself. Towing a tow car behind her, all right? And so we driving, after the meeting was over, we just got in our coach, got in the car, and we were driving back up the road. You know, coming back up, we're in Santa Mall. The only Louisiana can call it Santa Mall because it's not really Santa Mall. It's Saint Amant. But they say Santa Mall. And we were up there, maybe 5 miles, 6 miles from Daryl, and the phone rang. Hey, Daddy want to know where are you? Now, see, listen, when you get a question from Apostle, like, where, or from your leader, where are you? That's an invitation. No. You have to look beyond what you see and hear and understand. Oh, no, I know him. See, let me put it this way. Someone who's highly anointed cannot afford to get 7 rejections in a day. Well, this is what I want. No. Well, can you come over? No. Well, I want you to come spend some time with me. I got something else to do. That'll mess with the anointing. So he never gives you a flat out invitation. It's, where are you? My answer is, where you need me to be. Are you still in Ascension Parish? I could be. So we turned around and went back. I'm on the road. I'm headed north. I'm put it in the wind. I'm gone. But I changed my plan. Can you change your plans for somebody other than you? See, my mind, well, if you turn around and go back now, you're going to be driving at nighttime. It's going to be dark. And you're going to waste time and all that. You can't waste time with your spiritual father. There's no such thing. That's an oxymoron. Truth be told, he could have called me this week. He could have called me yesterday. Dave, can you drive? Can you get to here by tomorrow? Yes. I have no idea how. I'm just going to make it happen. Why? Because when the Father says it, I say his words. He's got to, somehow the power of the Father will back it up and make it happen. So we go back and we spend, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. We had lunch, 2 or 3 hours. And they're talking to us about all the different things on the house. See, there's a reason God wanted me to go back. We went back and he starts talking about their house and all the process of their house and how the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith always was working every time with their house. And I'm like, I mean, I've heard these stories before, but it was ringing a familiar bell. It was taking me somewhere where the Lord now was now not just listening, but lifting me. And he kept talking about these houses. And then he said, you know, it's time for y'all. Because we had a misstep and a mishap and a miss friends and miss employees, a lot of misses. And it took us back. But the Lord was like, it's enough back. I'm tired of where you're living. I'm tired. See, sometimes it's not you getting tired of where you're living. God has to get tired. He said, I've had it with this place. Get out. So we got out of there and said, this is going to be our house. We're going to find a house. Well, lo and behold, he kept talking. This is on our return. What if I was stiff-necked? Ain't nobody going to change their whole schedule for him. I don't have time to change my whole schedule for him. I wouldn't have got the 2 pieces of information I needed. Because he told me about the house. So we already were, okay, we're going back. We're working on this house. Then he said, oh, I know you're dealing with your motor coach out of Fleetwood Revolution. He said, sell it. Huh? You know you're a son and you know you're being led when your first response is, huh? That's a sure sign. Because he said, sell the coach. He said, sell it. I said, what? He said, sell it. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going into March, April, May. I'm not going to have a motor coat. That's the whole season. He said, don't worry about the season. God will take care of it. God will fix it. See, listen to me. Can I come down here? Can they see? Yeah, oh, look at these lights. Oh, look, I got new lights. I got six cameras. They all paid for. I like, that's the best kind of camera right there. Paid for. Human suffering can always be redeemed for divine capital. When you want something and he doesn't want you to have it, or you don't want something and he wants you to have it, or you don't want to do something but he needs you to do it, and you, when you yield to him, it becomes divine capital. It puts money in his pocket to go purchase what you need. He says, sell the coach. Sell the coach. So now I get back, I put the coach on the market. The coach goes up for sale, and it turned into a bidding war. So this person, this family wanted it, and this family wanted it. So now there, not only do I have a buyer, I have two. So then the way the site works is now they have to bid against each other for who really wants it the most. So now the price I was asking is going up. See, I asked for this, but now it's going up like this. And so I finally sold the coach for $17,000 past what the retail value is. Well, that was good, but I still have no coach. So then Bishop and the co-pastor and then Tracy and I, we were meeting at Mountain Falls in Lake Toxaway, North Carolina. So now the coach already sold, but I told the man that bought it, I have one more trip to make. And so he said, okay, well, go ahead and make your trip. So we made our trip, got to North Carolina a day and a half late. Bishop and co-pastor were already there. And I get there, I'm checking in, and the woman says, did you know, is that your friend out there playing golf with a Segway? I'm like, yeah, that's him. That's my friend. He's already here. He's been here a day and a half already. Said, yeah, well, he met a woman in here, and she and her husband are selling their coach, but it's a luxury coach. It's a Zephyr. A Zephyr, they don't even have those unless they're ordered. They don't make them just sitting out there on the lot. You have to order these. And so they said they got the Zephyr, and they're selling it. I said, what? Ah, that's nice. I didn't think more of it. But then Bishop told me, he said, I met the woman. She wants to talk to you because she wants you to see the Zephyr. Zephyr. Zephyr means fresh wind. So we go check it out. Long story short, we make the deal. That's our coach. Nice people, we get the coach. Now, the same month, we done closed on the house. Let me tell you about that. So we're looking. And our realtor is sending us these houses every night, four or five houses every night, based on the profile we set. This is what we're looking for. This is what we need. This is what we desire in the house. Well, so these type of homes come up. Well, I found one house. We found another house. We're going to houses, three or four houses a week. We're looking at them. And I found this one. I said, Trace, look at this. So she looked at it. She said, that's nice. That's really nice. Where is it? Where's a whole nother county? I mean, I'm like, who's going way out there? But see, the problem is I'd ask the Lord, where do you want to live? See, that's going to bring the supernatural right into your living room when you say, where do you want to live? What do you want to drive? How are you going to restore my family? How are you going to renew my liver? How are you going to rebuild my kidney? How are you going to give me a new heart? How? What do you want? When you do that, somebody better come get that jacket. You're taking too long. See, that's apostle spirit. Let my jacket sit on the floor that long. What's wrong with you? So listen. So we found this house. We're going to look at the house. And we had quickening. So I said, we cancel all the other appointments. We're not going to look at anything else. See, when God is moving, you gotta have tunnel vision. Don't marry something until the Lord speaks. When he speaks, then you get married to it. If you get married too early, you have confirmation bias. You're like, well, I know that's what the Lord wants. No. If the Lord wants, it's what he wants, not what you want him to want you to want. If you really want to be father right, father got to father you, but he can only father the one who's being fathered if the one who's being fathered wants to be fathered. Because father is not just a noun, it's a verb. A father fathers. And so while we're going to see this house, The house, the whole road system is closed off. So you got to go 5 miles around the long way to even get to the house. But the Lord did that so nobody else could find it. Because as soon as we moved in a couple of months later, guess what? They fixed all the roads. They're brand new. We get there. We shut the whole deal down by making an offer the first week we saw the house. We saw the house, went back to see it the next day, put an offer in the next day. They had an open house that weekend, but the Lord said, I don't want nobody else to see this. This is yours. Nobody else even saw the house. I found out later, neighbors had friends and relatives that wanted to come see the house and consider it, but it was gone. If God has something for you, it is for you. And he will get you in there supernaturally. I sold a motor coach for $17,000 more, got a luxury motor coach. Then let me tell you about the motor coach. The motor coach is 45 feet long, 45 feet long. It can't get no longer than that. And then we went to Red Bay, Alabama, where they built the motor coach to get something done to it. And the people that were there, the other owners, RV owners, a whole bunch of them, they said, did you know there's a Zephyr here? Did you know somebody's got a Zephyr here? We don't even see these. We never even see them. I've never even seen one. Who is it? I said, well, that's me. It's you. Can I see it? I'm like, well, come on. Let me tell you about the goodness of the Lord. And they got on there, and I was able to tell them how good God was to make that happen. My point is, the supernatural comes when you become one with God, when your words become his words. I'm taking you back to 14:10 again. The words I speak, they're not mine. I'm just speaking what I hear him say. I speak the words, the Father doeth the works. Say it with me. I speak the words, the Father doeth the works. Say it again. I speak the words, the Father doeth the works. I speak the words. The Father doeth the works. That's the supernatural right there. That's the key to the supernatural, is making that shift right there. Look, let's just give God thanksgiving for that real quick. Hold up your hands. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Let me finish. Thank you, Father God. Spiritual Heavenly Father. Thank you, Apostle Thompson. Spiritual Father. Thank you, Biological Father. We got three fathers and one glorious life. God bless you. Apostle, it's back into your hands, sir.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Those who are watching the broadcast, and those who are here with me, and those who are at Columbus, Ohio, this is a wonderful moment, what Dr. Favre was teaching us. And, you know, in my session, I always say a word after they finish. One of the things that really stood out to me is that when you're dealing with the supernatural, you have to understand that in Hebrews 12:9, that God is the Father of spirit. That's what Dr. Favre was teaching, different aspect of the Father. He's the Father of spirits. And that text will read that out to you. And then both Dr. Favre and Dr. Robinson was given supernatural testimonies. Sometimes people don't like that. They don't like that. But throughout the Bible, God did it. And that's one of the things that I've done over the years, tell people what God have done materially. Sometimes they can relate to that. And that's a great testimony they gave. So remember that he's the Father of spirit, and also the combination of the two, then he's the Father of glory. Then Ephesians 1:17. So he's the Father of spirit, he's Father of glory. Those indication is aspects of the supernatural. And so good job, son. Good job. And yeah, and I want to tell you, you got your sanctuary looking good too, and I don't want Dan to get jealous, so his was looking good too. Amen. Now, in dealing with the supernatural, I listened at the message that I preached last night twice. I'm going to listen at it the third time. LTMA has to listen at it three times. Every member of LTMA, a Master Vision Bearer, my church, listened at it three times because a lot of time I wasn't talking. See, I got home. I found out it was a lot of time I wasn't talking. I was complete out the way. And the instruction add on to all what these boys are teaching, the instruction will change you completely. The content of this revival, you call it, it's a revival and restoration. The content of this camp meeting is so powerful. And you have to listen to it over and over again. I'm going to require the school to listen to this, these tapes over and over again, and especially the one from last night, you know, getting that embalming stuff out of you. And I don't know, out your fate, you know, out there are things that you want and desire and you can't get. Get the embalming stuff out of there, the flesh out of there, and you have it. Great job. And another thing I want to say about Dr. Forb is I told Dr. Forb, you got to loosen up a little bit. Because he's an academic, you know, he can speak them big words. Sometimes you're going to have to split a verb, son. Sometimes you're going to have to just let it go. Sometimes you're just going to let it go. Because he come from a real educated background. His father is, his uncle. But, and then what's great about it, his father told him, follow him. That man, I respect that man for that. Dr. Forb, he told him, said, no, son, follow him. You can follow him. When the father release a flesh father, a physical father, release his son to follow me as a spiritual father, I honor that. And so I'm thankful and I bless Dr. Forb, his father, for it. Splendid job. Leroy Jr. going to come and we'll get set for the night.